The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
These things that have been hidden for ages, you've made known and made them plain and simple to people like us. And so, Lord, we are grateful. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for everything, for who you are, what you represent for us. Thank you for your love, for your mercy. Thank you for everything. We open our hearts to be blessed by you today. We receive in this meeting strong manifestation and display of the spirit of revelation working amongst us. In the name of Jesus, we receive in this meeting the burden of ignorance lifted. In the name of Jesus, we receive in this meeting clarity and understanding, pure and utterance working amongst us and giving light where there has once been darkness. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's be seated. Hallelujah. Amen. And so, I want to welcome us to church. Yet another beautiful evening in God's presence. Amen. How are we doing? So, hamartiology, okay? The second part of it. And in case that is like a big English for you, it shouldn't be. Hamartiology is simply the study of sin or the doctrine of sin, whichever one you call it. Okay? I tried to simplify it for you last week. When you hear these things that come with logy, you know, you just study your doctrine. Things like Christology is the study of Christ, doctrine of Christ. There's nothing spiritual, there's nothing ambiguous about it. Do you understand? Do you understand? Theology is what? The study of God. That's theology. Hamartiology is the study of sin. Where did we get that from? The word hamartia is the Greek word for sin. Okay, so hamartiology is the study of sin. Christology is the study of Christ. We looked at theology. I mentioned another one last week. What's that? You can't remember. Which other one? Huh? Is it biology? Amen. No. I think I mentioned one more last week. Pneumatology. I mentioned pneumatology. I just did. But I think I did last week. But you know what that means? What does it mean? Huh? Pneuma is simply spirit. So when you hear things like pneumaticos, you know what that means? That's spirituals. So if you check in that 1 Corinthians 12 verse 1, it says, now concerning spiritual gifts, what you have is now concerning pneumaticos. I will not have ignored. Do you understand? So these are not... You know why I normally tell you things like this? So that someone is not going to use big things to confuse you and you feel that it's something I don't know. So what did they in the church today? Ah, we learned Christology. I'm wondering, wow, when is our pastor going to teach on Christology? Praise God. And now, they now hear it, they say, ah, it's not this thing. So nothing big about this thing. Amen? Hamartiology is the study of the doctrine of sin. Hallelujah. And so we started looking at this seriously last week. And one of the things I told you, I don't want you to forget, if you can grab these things we are sharing in these 7 weeks, or more. If you can understand them, it will solve a lot of problems for you in your Christian walk. A lot. They are supposed to be basics, but then they are beyond basics. They are serious matters. So last week we looked at the fact that the sin, we are looking at the first sin, or called the original sin. And that's the sin of Adam, you remember? And we concluded that the sin of Adam, according to what we saw last week, was what? unbelief or a rejection of Christ. We established and argued strongly last week that it wouldn't be by eating anything that Adam became a sinner. No. Praise God. It wouldn't be by eating anything. As a matter of fact, one very key statement Jesus made is that it's not what goeth into a man. You remember that? It's not what goes into a man that defiles the man. And so, by what we eat, we can't be defiled. Amen? And if what Jesus said is true, as I know it is true, it wouldn't have been by what Adam ate that he was defiled. Are you following me? It wouldn't be by what he ate. I tried to explain to you the reason why we can have such things happen in the Old Testament, because some of those things you are communicated in visions. And if I ever had a vision here, one key thing was not about a vision is that visions are communicated with symbols and not the real thing. For instance, even if you don't understand vision, you understand dream. Okay, naturally they tell you that when you see snake in your dream, it doesn't mean physical snake, or it means this. Do you understand? It means those things are symbols to communicate something. So that was how Moses presented it. So how are we so sure that he didn't eat any apple or banana? Simple. We saw through from that Genesis 3, you get to the New Testament and you see Jesus, you see Paul, you see all of them discuss the fall of man, and they will not mention fruit, they will not mention eating. Are you following me? They will discuss it, they won't mention it. Was Moses wrong? No. He just told you what he saw. How are you sure he saw it? He wasn't there when it happened. As a matter of fact, when God was saying, let there be light, let there be this, let us make man an image, there was no man in existence. Even here that God said, let us make man. Are you following me? So how did Moses know that God said, let us make man? It will obviously be what he saw. It will obviously be by the gift of the Spirit, either a vision or any other thing. But then if you check the epistles, I've explained to you, the epistles are basic for doctrine. Remember that? This is where we establish every doctrine we want to establish. We saw places like, which we still touch today, places like Romans 5. We read from verse 12 down. Paul was discussing strongly the fall of man. He used different terms. He used disobedience. He used sin. He used offense. Remember? Do you remember this? He used transgression. He used all those terms to describe what man did. What he never mentioned was that man ate anything. Are you getting the point? Now that tells you that we have to really look at Genesis 1, 2, and 3 to find out what really happened there. Okay? And we have tried doing that, and we've started seeing some answers already in our study. If you are still, amen. Now, for instance, in Genesis chapter 3, verse 4, we touched that last week, so I'm going to just refresh your memory again and start with that. But the serpent said unto the woman. So the serpent came to the woman. Now, I didn't say this last week, but when you study the Bible, okay, for instance, in Matthew, Satan led Jesus to a high mountain to be tempted by him. You remember that? How do you think that happened? Do you think Satan appeared before Jesus and said, hello guy, I'm Jesus, I'm Satan, I'm going to tempt you, turn this into bread? Do you think so? Now, how do you know that's not how it happened? It's very simple. The Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews that Jesus was tempted as we are. Do you remember that? As we are. So, have you ever been tempted by appearing before you to say, my guy, how are you doing? The whole temptation to steal, to lie, goes on in your mind. Amen? That tells you that when the Bible said that Satan came to tempted him, it wouldn't be that Satan appeared physically wearing black. Tempting. Why did I say that? When you read that in Genesis 3 verse 4 that the serpent, okay, came to the woman, don't imagine that snake now crawled. The serpent is symbolic of Satan. Hope we know that. How did we know? Just check the Bible. Even Revelation calls Satan that old serpent. You find many places to prove that the serpent is symbolic of Satan. So Satan came to Eve, tempted Eve. Are you following me? Okay. And now, look at this. And I told the woman, you shall not die. Now, see verse 5. Verse 5 is very emphatic. He says, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. So what was the bait she gave the woman? You will be like God. I get the point? Are you following me? The bait was you will be in the image of God. What did God offer man in Genesis 1? Created in his image. I get the point? So what was offered to man was the image of God. Who is the image of God again, if you remember? It's Christ. So what was offered to man was Christ. What did Satan offer to man? Oh, there is another way to be like God. So we see Satan presenting an alternative to Eve. Now, see how Paul will explain it. 2 Corinthians 11 verse 3. See how Paul will explain it. We touched on this last week, but so that you don't forget. But I fear, please pay close attention. Pay close attention. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent, now it's an interesting word, beguiled. It means to deceive, to lure, it means to seduce. Beguiled Eve through his subtlety. So your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is found in Christ. And so what did the serpent do to Eve? Deceived Eve, and her mind was corrupted from that simplicity found in Christ. So Paul is saying, I fear that it may happen to you too. Put up a translation. Put up like NLT also. He said, but I fear that somehow your pure and undivided devotion will be corrupted, just as Eve was deceived by the cunning ways of the serpent. So what happened was Satan deceiving Eve and turning her mind away from the simplicity found in Christ. Are you following me at all? And so what happened in Genesis 1, 2, and 3 was not really about somebody being presented with an apple or with orange or with banana. It was about the image of God. Okay, let me see another way. Let me see if you remember. It was about the tree of life. Do you remember this? Because the tree of life and the image of God, we're talking about the same person, that is Christ. So we concluded last week that generally, when we talk about sin, original sin, it is actually that Adam rejected Christ. It was a total rejection of Christ. A total rejection of Christ. We saw that that is what we mean by sin unto death. Do you remember that? When we say he sinned unto death, what it means is that he rejected Christ. We saw further that that was the exact sin the Israelites committed in the wilderness that made them die. What made the Israelites die and not enter Canaan in the wilderness was not because they lied or they murmured. Do you remember that last week? What made them not enter was that they were unbelievers. They didn't believe. How do you know that? In Hebrews chapter 3, for instance, we read from verse 12, but let's see verse 19 because of our time. I'm just refreshing your mind. Hebrews 3 verse 19. He says, so we see this about Israelites. Start from 18 so it can flow very well. Verse 18. And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not. It was about Israelites. Verse 19 now says, so we see that they could not enter because of unbelief. Amen? So there was unbelief in the heart. Say, unbelief in what? It's very easy to see. Just the next verse. The next verse should now be chapter 4, verse 1, which could have as well been chapter 3, verse 20. Do you understand? Uh-huh. Because the whole Bible was not written in chapters and verses. So they could have as well meant Hebrew 3, verse 20, and you will still be correct. No, it doesn't say, so let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Now verse 2, pay close attention, or let's read together verse 2, 1, 2, 3, go. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. Now, so the gospel that was preached was also preached to them. That's the Israelites in the wilderness. Do you see the point? The gospel, so what was preached to us again? What is the gospel preached unto us? Christ, right? His death and resurrection. He said that same gospel was preached unto them. But look at, the word preached did not profit them because they didn't mix it with faith. So they didn't believe it. So, there's not, we'll still get to this when we'll be closing today. That Moses knew the gospel. Amen? Let me say three things, which I will close with today. Moses knew the gospel. Moses believed the gospel. Moses preached the gospel. Say amen. Amen. I said again, Moses knew the gospel because for unto us was it preached. So that gospel was preached unto them. But they didn't believe it. Now, when we talk about the gospel is about Christ and what he did. Right? Now, on the cross. So what did Moses... So what did Moses preach to them? Christ and Christ and what? Let me ask the question. What do we believe? Christ and what he did? What did Moses preach to them? That's a simple thing. Christ and what he will do. Because at the time Moses was preaching to them, Christ has not done anything. So every belief they had was in something that will come. We call it promissory notes. Amen? Well, let's start here this evening. And so, Adam, by his unbelief, or he rejected Christ. He rejected Christ. Now, I want to ask a very simple question today. And so, what was the impact of that Adam's sin on humanity? How did that affect the human race? How did it affect the human race? Remember that God's plan was to make man in his image, right? Now, and Adam became the first of that. Now, Adam sinned. How did it affect human race? Romans 5 verse 12. Please, everybody pay very close attention, because I'm going to touch some things. I'm going to touch some things that possibly you've lived all your life believing. I can't even hear what I'm saying. So some things you've lived all your life believing, we might touch it today. And so Romans 5 verse 12, are you there? This is still not good enough. Wherefore, it's not about being loud. I think that's to balance. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So, who is this one man? Adam, right? Amen. No. Adam was, come on, get the other mic, walk on that mic and bring it. This is not working. So, Adam was the one man through which sin entered into the world. And now, what followed after sin? Death. Death followed. Death came by sin. Now, look at this. And so, death passed upon how many men? Please, we are going to analyze this very statement shortly. He said, for that all have sinned. Amen? Death passed upon all men. Now, if you are not careful, you will just read this verse and assume that everybody, because that's the general accepted thing, that everybody became a sinner just by what Adam did. That's what you believe, right? Well, very pay close attention. Amen. Death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned because of what Adam did. But then, I'm going back to this verse. Next verse. Watch. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Now, verse 14 is very interesting. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam. Now, go back to verse 12. Look at this. Do you realize that it says death passed upon all men because all have sinned? Right? What follows after that? A colon, right? Now, how does verse 13 open up? With a parenthesis, with sign of, say bracket. Do you know what that means? If I make a statement and then I now open my bracket, I'm about to explain what I said. You get the point? So whatever will be found in the bracket is an explanation of the statement I made before. We are not done now, are you? So everything we're going to read from verse 13 now is an explanation of that verse 12, trying to put that verse 12 in proper perspective. Do you understand? Now, for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Verse 14, which is still an explanation because the bracket has not closed yet. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. So there were actually people that did not follow the pattern of Adam's sin. Do you observe? Do you observe it? What's that word similitude? Is the Greek word homoioma. Yeah. It means a pattern. Okay, it means a pattern. Now, It says it means likeness. It means that there are some people that did not follow the likeness of Adam's sin. Do you understand? But if this statement is true, it means we have to now go back to verse 12 and look at it closely. Because verse 12 will no longer be saying that everybody has sinned. Because it already showed us in verse 14 that some people did not follow the pattern of Adam's sin. Do you understand? Go back to verse 14 again. Put up another translation. So let's look at it very closely. Let's look very closely. See this translation. Still, everyone died from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even those who did not disobey an explicit commandment of God as Adam did. So there were people that did not really sin the sin of Adam. Do you understand the point? There are people that did not sin the sin of Adam. So that would mean, hello? That would mean that when he mentioned that statement, all have sinned, verse 12, would mean that death passed upon all that sinned. Let me say it again. When he says for all, I've explained to you, when you see all, the word all in Bible, please pay attention, this is not difficult to understand. When you see all in Bible study, or in fact, generally all, it doesn't really mean all. Remember I explained that to you. For instance, when the Bible says all things are yours, that will not mean everything in heaven and on earth is yours. Do you understand? Like I always say. You know, somebody's wife is not yours. Many things are not yours. So all can be context. And people read Hebrew and Philippians 4 verse 13 and say, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. All things. All means all. No. All doesn't mean all. All will mean all in the context of that study. Do you understand? For instance, if all means all, it means stealing is part of all. So you can steal through Christ that strengthens you. So what rule are we applying here? Context. Do you understand? So when he says death passed upon all men for all have sinned, it will simply mean the all is talking about death, that death passed upon, we are the all that sinned. Should I say it again? Because verse 14 already showed us that it's not actually everybody that sinned that sin. Why am I doing all of this today? You get it as you progress. If you're still confused, just calm down. All that sinned. So verse 14. 14, what is happening? This is strange. Verse 14. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned, after the pattern of Adam's sin. Who is the victim that was come? So Adam's sin brought a pattern. Okay? Brought a pattern. So it tells you that there were actually some between Adam and Moses who did not follow what Adam did. Who is telling you? Some didn't follow what Adam did. Some did not follow what Adam did. Okay? So that pattern of Adam's which is unbelief, even in the Old Testament, some did not follow it. What does that tell you? What Adam did, listen carefully. What Adam did, should I make this statement? Okay, you can carry it. What Adam did not automatically come upon everybody. Do you understand what I say? This is where we have a lot of questions coming up. What Adam did not automatically, it's not like just because Adam sinned. Everybody that came after Adam now became sinners. The Bible said in verse 14, some people did not follow the pattern of that sin. Put up amplified of this. Look at it closely. Let's do it together. 1, 2, 3, go. Everybody. Come on, put some gusto in your voice. Let me hear you. Come on. From Adam to Moses, the lawgiver, even over those who did not themselves transgress a positive command as Adam did. So there were people that did not transgress as Adam did. You understand the point? There are people that did not sin like Adam. They didn't sin like Adam. So it would be wrong to say that everybody that came out inherited the sin. Some did not commit the sin. Okay? But it says death reigned over them. Spiritual death was in oppression. Okay? Are you following? Now, for this. See, you guys should fix this. This is very distracting. Very, very. I don't even know what I'm saying again. Okay? Verse 15. Next verse. It says, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. Put up an NLT of this. Look at this closely because we want to find out what Adam did it automatically come upon everybody? Did all men automatically become sinners because Adam committed one sin? So we can look at, did everybody automatically become sinners because Adam committed one sin? He said, there is a great difference between Adam's sins and God's gracious gift. So he's about to make a comparison. For the sin of this one man, Adam, brought death to how many people? To how many people? Many. So not all. Did you observe that? Put another translation. This one said many. Many. Put up like Amplify. Amplify said, God's free gift is not at all to be compared to the trespass. His grace is out of all proportion to the fall of man. For if many died through one man's falling away. So, what Adam did not destroy everybody. He destroyed many. People he destroyed, the many were the people who sinned after that pattern. Do you understand? Okay, let's see further. So, he destroyed many. Put up another solution. Many. Amplify said many. NLC says many. King James said many. Message said, yeah, the rescuing gift is not exactly parallel to the death dealing sin. If one man sin puts crowds of people at the death, so it was a crowd actually, many people subscribed to it, but it was not everybody. Do you understand the point? What I'm trying to show is that what Adam did not automatically jump upon Moses, jump upon Abraham, jump upon Noah. Are you following? Slow down and just don't miss this. See, go back to King James, see the next verse. Next verse, verse 16. Okay, say in 15, let's look at that. It says, first of all, many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abandoned unto many. So he's comparing what Christ did, what Adam did. What Adam did brought death to how many people? Many. What Christ did brought righteousness to how many people? Many. Now, if you say that what Adam did became automatic upon the world, remember, that Adam, go back to verse 14. There's something we missed. Read verse 14, 1-3, go. There's rain from Adam to Moses, even over them that are not seen after the similitude of Adam's transgression. Who is what? So Adam was a type of Christ. Is that true? He was a figure of Christ. Now, if what Adam did became automatic upon the human race, it means what Christ did was going to become automatic too upon the human race. I follow what I'm saying? It's a type. Now, go back to that 15 now. It now says, not as the offense, also the free gift. For if through the offense of one, many be dead. So by the offense of one, many died. That same way, by God's free gift, many got righteousness. It wasn't automatic. Now, verse 16. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. Okay, well, go to NLT to help you. NLT. And the result of God's gracious gift is very different from the result of that one man's sin. For Adam's sin led to condemnation, but God's free gift leads to our being made right with God, even though we are guilty of many sins. Verse 17. Pay attention. For the sin of this one man, Adam, God's death to rule over many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness for all who receive it will live in triumph. So how does the gift of righteousness pass upon men? Men have to receive it. Right? Okay. What I'm trying to say is everybody automatically saved because Jesus died on the cross? Huh? Because Jesus died, is everybody born again? But is there provision for everybody to be born again? What should they do? They should subscribe to it. Let's use that word, right? Now, by what Adam did, is everyone automatically
Are everyone automatically sinners? How will everybody become sinners? Subscribe to it. Yeah, I know I'm trying to scatter it to you know since you got born again. But let's see further. Verse 18. Now, yes, Adam's one sin brings condemnation for everyone. I like the father used everyone. How many people? Someone say, Pastor, see it. It's everyone. Read the next phrase. But Christ's one act of righteousness brings a relationship with God and new life for everyone. So if you say Adam's sin is automatic, it means Christ's righteousness is. So by that use of everyone there will now mean that Adam's sin will bring condemnation for people who subscribe to it, just like Christ's death will bring righteousness for people who subscribe to it. Is it very clear? Is it clear? If it's not, say it's not. Is it? Should I go by it again? Okay. Adam's one sin brings condemnation for how many people? Okay. Christ's act of righteousness brings right relationship with God for how many people? Everyone, right? So whatever applies to Adam's sin applies to Christ's righteousness. Is that correct? So is Christ's righteousness with the knowledge of the Bible you know? Are people automatically born again once they come into the world? They have to do something to get out of Christ's righteousness. So everyone here will not be referring to everybody in the world. It will be referring to everybody that subscribed to whichever one. Which is what I'm saying. Don't think, what I'm saying is, because this is where there's a doctrine that people make from this verse. Very terrible doctrine. I don't know if I will touch it in this series. It's called universalism. Have you heard of it? It's very terrible. It sounds like the grace of God, but it's not. That doctrine that says that everybody that is born again, God loves everybody. So everybody that is on earth is saved. That God's love is upon everybody. It sounds like the gospel, but it's not. Do you get the point? When the Bible says that Jesus' death brought righteousness for everyone, it's not saying everybody on the earth. He brought it for everyone. Okay, let me rephrase this statement. When it says Christ's death brought righteousness for everyone, it means Christ's death made provision for everybody to become righteous. Is that correct? He made the provision. Just like Adam's sin also made the provision for everyone to become sinners. Are you following me? So it's not automatic. What they made was they made provision. They made it possible. So if you want to become righteous, what do? You believe in Jesus. That same way it applies with Adam. So do not think, what I'm saying now, you might be thinking it is heresy. Until we begin to get to the application of what I'm saying. Because this is where we are going to talk about babies. Because people believe that everybody is born a sinner. But still believe that if a baby dies, the baby will go to heaven. Are you following me? So how can a baby that is born sinner carry the Adamic sin nature into heaven? You think when we get to the gates, God will say no. How old is he? Remove the sin nature. No. You won't find that preached in the Bible. Are you following the point? So you need to get your facts right. Because I'm going to come down shortly. So you notice what he says. So, verse 18, look at it again. Put book in James. Let's look at it. Book in James. Therefore, as by the offense of one, that is Adam, right? Judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon how many men too? All men. So when the Bible says coming upon, it doesn't mean it's automatic. The same way men subscribe to righteousness, men subscribe to unrighteousness. See verse 19. For as by one man's, he now explains what he says, what he means by all in verse 18, in verse 19. Look what it says. For as by one man's disobedience, how many now? Many. Now Jesus, you get the point? Many we are made sinners. So by the obedience of one, many shall be made righteous. So nothing is automatic. You know, why is doing all of this? I want to show you a few things. One of them is the fact that we have what we call free will. God does not impose himself on people or impose anything on people. I was saying it last week. An atheist asked me that how come one man I've not met sinned many years ago and then because of him, once I'm on earth, I'm automatically a sinner. And if I die, I will go to hell because one man sinned. You get the argument? So he asked me, why wouldn't God give all of us the opportunity to see if all of us are going to eat the apple like Adam? Why would I go to hell because one Adam ate one apple, a man I never met? The sin of Adam did not fall upon men automatically. I'll show you. What is that sin of Adam again? Unbelief. Man. So it is men that do not believe that have the sin of Adam. It's not everybody. Listen carefully. I'll show you something before I begin to apply this. If I say confused, it's okay to be confused until you get it. Ezekiel 18 verse 1. Ezekiel 18 verse 1. Glory to God. We've done a lot with the New Testament, so I'm coming back to the New Testament. But look at this. The word of the Lord came unto me saying, again, what mean ye that ye use this proverb? Everybody please look at the screen. Concerning the land of Israel, saying, the fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. So what do you mean by that? That the fathers have committed crime and children are suffering for it. Verse 3. It says, as I live, said the Lord, not God, you shall not have occasion anymore. He says, stop using that proverb. Stop it. It's not how God does his things. Now, see what follows. Behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, he shall die. What he's saying is, a man cannot sin, and people born by that man automatically become sinners because they came from that man's loins. Amen. Do we put Adam there? Are you following me? Adam cannot sin automatically because we all are from Adam. We are all sinners. And so we all go to hell for what Adam did. Adam's sin cannot take anybody to hellfire. Because it's Adam's sin. I don't know if it's confusing. It's your sin. I will show you what Adam set forth. The Bible calls it sin. The Bible calls it a pattern. People will go to hell for walking in the pattern of the sin Adam set in motion. And not because Adam did it. So you will see when I'm done that somehow, practically, God put all of us in that same garden he put Adam. And gave us all of us the same choice he gave Adam. But I'm coming to that. So, continue. Behold, okay, but if a man be just and do that which is lawful and right, okay, and had not eaten upon the mountains, he began to mention all the sin. Let's continue verse 7. Those things are interesting. Verse 7, verse 8, you know. Okay, continue. Verse 9, I'm going somewhere. He said, if he hath walked in my statutes and hath kept my judgments to deal truly, he is just, he shall surely live, said the Lord God. So if a man has done well, he will live because of what he did. Verse 11. Verse 10. If he begat a son that is a robber, a shudder of blood, and that doeth the like to any of these things, or to one of these things, and that doeth not any of those duties, but even had eaten upon the mountains and defiled his neighbor's wife, if he gives birth to a son that is a bad person, and oppressed the poor and all that, okay, verse 13, had given forth and all that, what did he say? He shall not live. So even though the father is a good man, right? So salvation is not hereditary. You get the point? That same way, sin is not hereditary. Hallelujah. Sin is not. He said, he had done all these things, he shall surely die. His blood shall be upon him. Upon him. Let's see verse 14. It shall be upon him. Now lo, if he begat a son that seeth all his father's sins which he had done, and considereth and doeth not such like, okay, that had not eaten upon the mountains and all, verse 16, neither had oppressed any and all that and all that, verse 17, pay attention, that had taken off his hand from the poor, that have not committed all these sins, he shall not die for the iniquity of his father. He shall surely live. Even though his father is a bad person, if he did not walk in the iniquity of his father, he will live. You understand the point? So it will be wrong for you to think that someone will one day walk into hell Because Adam, you know, the human race, we like blaming people. So he says, it's not even that Adam sinned. My dad used to tell us one funny story when we were young. There was one man that, you know, had a farm. Very poor man. So every day he's cultivating, he would just cultivate Adam. He would shout Adam. Adam. Every day. So one day they asked him, why do you keep shouting Adam? Once you say it's not Adam, that it's because of Adam that I'm suffering all these things. If not that he did whatever, whatever. And that's how we want to put the blame on some other person. No, the soul that sin it shall die. Verse 18. Let's see verse 18, 19, 20 quickly. Verse 18. And for his father, because he cruelly oppressed, spoiled his brother by violence, and did that which is not good amongst people, lo, even he shall die in his iniquity. Verse 19. Is yet say ye why? Doth not the son bear the iniquity of the father, when the son had done that which is lawful and right, and had kept all my statutes, I had done them, he shall surely live. Verse 20 is where we conclude. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. Sin is not sexually transmitted. Yes, everyone. You cannot, it's not because somebody's father did something, automatically the son will not be a sinner. Do you understand? And so, why did I take you through all of that? The fact that we are all sinners because Adam sinned is not a very correct theology. It's not a very correct one. Do you also observe that Eve did not become a sinner because Adam sinned? Eve ate of the fruit to herself. Did you observe that? Eve did not suddenly become a sinner because Adam sinned. Eve herself had to take of the fruit. It would have been unfair if Eve didn't take anything and then Adam took the banana, and after eating it, God did not tell Eve, you too, you've contacted. You came from his loins. Both of you are now sinners. No. Do you understand the point? So, how do men become sinners? It's a very simple thing. And I'm going to show you. Another argument people bring up in things like this is the issue of Psalm 51 verse 5, where David said, in sin did my mother conceive me. Now, it makes it look like by the time they gave it, as in everybody is born, he said, I was shaping iniquity and in sin my mother conceived me. I will not go further into this verse, but I'm just going to talk about some things. One of these, I'm going to open it up and look at it critically. One of the things you realize with this is, a lot of theologians have said a couple of things. One of the strongest arguments on this verse is the fact that this is talking about the circumstances of David's birth. The fact that there is a possibility, and most theologians believe, that David was born maybe by a harlot, you get the point, or not from the father's wife. And you can even begin to see that there is a possibility. No wonder the last born of a family will be sent to the wilderness or to the forest to go and take care of the sheep. Okay? Now, he wasn't, so that's the possibility. But the general thing is, this verse, and that's why you find out, Jesse didn't present him. When they say, why your sons? He said, it's over. He said, bring, there's one more. So this is a possibility here. But generally, the epistles, whether you agree with what I said now or not, the epistles will never agree that every man is automatically in sin because he was born by a woman. No. So you find out that how men become sinners when they commit the same sin Adam committed. Let me ask you a question. When Adam was created, was he born again? Huh? Was he born again? Was he a sinner? What was he? I'm asking some questions that you might have in your mind, but then nobody wanted to answer it. So what do you think it was? Is this her? Okay. That's okay, fine. So if Adam, because this, I like that, because that's a lot of person's point of view. That because he was made in the image of God, he was born again. But then we've tried to establish from the first day that Adam did not really work in that image of God. Okay? He did not. Now, if he did, now this is a very important point to look at. If Adam was in the image of God, and the epistles revealed to us that the image of God is Christ. Right? So Adam was like Christ. Right? In the image of God. And the image of God disobeyed God and walked in unbelief. That's not possible. Now, how was... Okay, let me ask the question. When Adam was born, was created, when Eve was created, was he born again? The answer is simply no. Was he a sinner? No. There is a state we can say that we are in, and that's where I'm going to bring in children now. And I'll show you what the Bible calls it. It's a state of innocence. Follow this very closely, because I know it might be against everything you've learned, but listen, it's a state of innocence. Now, it was when Adam refused to believe in Jesus, right? And believe in whatever Satan did, that he became a sinner. That he became a sinner. Eve too. Now, this is where we bring in children. Look at what Paul will say concerning children. Romans 9 verse 10. When a child is born, is the child born again? No. Is the child a sinner? If you are tempted to say yes, then you've gotten into that trouble we're trying to avoid, which is when the child dies, where will the child go to? Are you still here? And not only this, but when Rebecca also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, he was talking about the birth of Jacob and Esau. For the children being not yet born, having neither having done any good. So what did he say about children? They have not done good or evil. Say, a child is not a good person, a child is not a bad person. What about penalty of this? Do you have the point? That's what they were called innocence. He said, but before they were born, before they had done anything good or bad, he was using this to teach election and all that. That's not for today. Divine election and all that. How God chose Jacob over Esau. Trying to show that it was not because Esau did anything bad. Because even when they were in their mother's womb, before they had done anything good or bad, God already said, I've chosen Jacob. Do you understand the point? And so they've not done anything good or bad. So a child is not a sinner. A child is not a righteous man. He is in that state. And that is where, okay, I like your message. The message said, and her babies, we are still innocent in the womb, incapable of good or bad. So that's the innocence. It was a state of innocence. You wouldn't say they did anything bad. Why? They don't even have the capacity to do something bad. Let me put it another way. What is the bad? Okay, unbelief, right? They don't have the capacity to believe or not to believe. I didn't get the point. So it would be unfair for you to look at that child and say, you have the sin nature. Say amen. Jesus is good. Praise God. So they can't give account of themselves, of their actions. So at that state, we call it the state of innocence. Now, that is the state Adam was when he was created. He was the moment Adam, it would be wrong to say Adam was brought forth in sin. No, or brought forth in righteousness. It was the time Adam now disbelieved the message. If Adam had, did God want Adam to eat of the tree of life? Yes, right? Why did God send him out of the garden? Because he had eaten the other tree, lest he stretch forth his hand and take of the tree of life. So God's plan was, eat of this tree of life. God's plan. We talked about this, his image and his likeness, remember? Eat of this, but he didn't. So if Adam had eaten of the tree of life, would he have been a sinner? What do we mean by it's not the tree of life? Believing what God told him. I don't get the point. So Adam had the option to either be born again or be a sinner. He chose one. When a man is brought into this world, God presents that same choice he gave to Adam, to the man. He doesn't automatically tell the man, you are not a sinner because you came to this world. No. He doesn't also tell the man, I impart righteousness to you. No. He brings the man into that same garden that Adam was. It was a garden of either to, and gives him two options. So either is the tree of life or is the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Amen. When that man grows to a point of accountability, we can no longer say he's innocent. From that time, if he doesn't now believe in Jesus, he has become a sinner. Not by what Adam did, but by his own unbelief. Do you understand what I said now? Should I say it again? It's because it's not. That's why when a child of 1, 6 months, when they die, you should know where they're going to. When David's child died, you know when David's child died? When he prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed, and David, he did not look at what he said after. He didn't say, he didn't talk like he didn't know where the child went to. He said, I am going to meet him again. He was so sure. I didn't get the point. That's a baby. He said, I'm going to meet him again. And so that state is considered of innocence. When the child has not done anything good or bad, so when a child comes into this world, so why are you saying all of this? I'm saying all of this to show that every man is responsible for where he spends his eternity. Every man is responsible for his state. No man comes into this world saved or unsaved. Every man chooses to be saved or to be unsaved. And so, for that man that has come up to a point where he can answer for himself and has refused to believe in Jesus, that man is a sinner. He shouldn't blame Adam for it. Neither should he blame God. It's not God that, it's not Beth that made him a sinner. You get the point? It is his decision to reject the tree of life. The day that man now believes, he becomes a saint. By what Jesus has done. Not by what Adam did. So, it is still his decision. Do you get the point? So, truly, truly, and thoroughly, thoroughly, hell is man's choice. I tell you. No man automatically born as in becomes a candidate of hell. It is when you are now born and you deliberately reject heaven. Please get the point. I think it's very simple to understand. What happened in the garden was Adam making his choice. Romans 5 now explained to us that you can compare what Adam did with what Jesus did. The same way righteousness passed upon all men, Adam's sin passed upon all men. The same way righteousness is not automatic, Adam's sin is not automatic. So a child is born, his 6 months, it will even be unfair to throw that child to hell. That's the height of religion. To think that way. But that's religion without compassion. I don't get the point. To say, I don't care. Once he's died, somebody said, it depends on whether the parents are born again or not. If the parents are born again, they are born again, I've covered. That's nonsense. So, at the time that child is born, he is without sin. He will go to. That's why if you're a parent here, once your child begins to grow up to that point where he can understand simple English, preach the gospel to him. I didn't get the point. At that age, that is what we call in mission the golden age of salvation. And that's from 4 to 14 years. You see that age, it is the easiest time to get anybody born again. Because their mind just did. I didn't get the point. So as the child, 7 years, 8 years, he can understand what Jesus said. Preach the gospel to him. He has nothing else to believe. And that you've gotten him saved. But if you leave him to just grow without the gospel, without knowing Jesus, he's going to grow and he's going to become a sinner. That's not because of you. You denied him the gospel. Well, there's another question somebody wants to ask here. I'm going to ask it, but I'm not going to answer it today. Answer it somewhere in this series. That's why you have to come in. What of people that did not hear the gospel until they died? It was on your mind, Shay.
Very well. Somewhere in this series, I'm going to answer it. So always be in church. I won't even tell you when. Praise God, though. Amen, though. Very well. And so, when a man is born into this world, he has the option to either make his choice to eternal life or make his choice to eternal condemnation. I follow him. Now, so, Deuteronomy chapter 1, let me just show one more scripture on this children matter. Verse 34. Deuteronomy 1. Let me ask you again. Let me see if you remember our study so far. I think this will make sense. Why did the Israelites not enter Canaan? Their unbelief, right? Why is that in the wilderness? Their unbelief, right? Did we see that? That in itself doesn't need the Greek and Hebrew. The Bible is so clear about that in Hebrew 3 and Hebrew 4, right? So their unbelief denied them, their unbelief in the gospel denied them heaven. Oh, heaven? Canaan, which is still a type of heaven. Do you understand what I said? Now, look at down Deuteronomy 1 verse 12. This will make sense to you. Everything I've explained now will make sense. I save this for now. And the Lord heard the voice of your words and was wroth and swear. As in Moses was narrating to them what happened on that day. Verse 35. Surely there shall not one of these men of this evil generation see that good land, which I swear to give unto your fathers. So he said they will never see it. But according to Hebrew, why did they not see it? Unbelief, right? So let's see. Save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, he shall see it, and to him will I give the land that he had trodden upon. Why was Caleb going to see it? He believed. Do you understand the point? Are we making these things up? Did you see it in Hebrew 3? Do we can look at Hebrew 3 again? Because we were here last week, now. Hebrew 3, do we can check it again? Okay, Hebrew 3. People like making this thing somehow. Very well. Hebrew 3, where do we start from? We started from verse 5 the other day, but let's just start from verse 12 this time. From verse 12. Take it, brethren, lest there be any in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Okay? Verse 13. But there's all one another daily and all that. Verse 14. Our time is spent. So, for we are made partakers of Christ. Okay, verse 15. While it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the door of provocation. Verse 16 is now key. For some, when they had heard, did provoke. Yet, howbeit, not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. Not all of them. Verse 17. But with whom was he? So he said he was provoked in the wilderness, but not with all of them that came out. So who was he angry with? With whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not them that has sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? What did he call what they did? Sin, right? Right? Let's see, verse 18. And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not. Verse 19 now says, so we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. So why did the Israelites not enter Canaan? Very clear, right? Now go back to Deuteronomy 1, where we are reading. So because of unbelief, they didn't enter Canaan. So Deuteronomy 1 from verse 35. Let's just quote from 35 now. 35. It says, surely there shall not one of these men of this evil generation see that good land, which I swear to give unto your fathers. Verse 36. Save. The word save there means accept. Except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, he shall see it, and to him will I give the land that he had trodden upon. Was it because he liked Caleb more than all of them? No. It was because he believed. Now, and to his children, because he had wholly followed the Lord. Now, very key now, verse 37. 37, let's go. 37. Also, the Lord was angry with me for your sakes, saying, thou shalt not go in there. Verse 38, follow closely. But Joshua, the son of Nun, which standeth before thee, shall go in there, encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit it. Everybody, verse 39, this is where I'm going to. Moreover, your little ones, that's the children, which ye said should be a prey, and your children, which in that day had no knowledge between good and evil, they shall go in there.
So while were the children spared? They had no knowledge of good and evil. Do you understand? So at that point, they didn't commit any crime. Because they could not believe and they could not unbelieve. Do you understand the point? So your little children, because they had knowledge of good and evil, they are the ones that will go in there. And as he said, I will give the land to your little ones, your innocent children. So they were innocent. He said you will be afraid that they will be captured, but they will be the ones who occupy it. Why? Because they didn't do anything. So Joshua Caleb entered in because of their faith. The others did not enter because of their unbelief. Right? The children got in because of their innocence. Are you getting the point? Amen. This may sound strange, but it demystifies a lot of things for you. It makes a lot of ambiguous things. Because that's the only way you can explain. Somebody asked me, I saw it maybe, that was one Andrew Mark's meeting. The guy was asking, children that we are aborted, where will they go to? Amen. And Andrew Mark gave a very beautiful answer to that. Even though he didn't use Bible scriptures and all that, but he shared some visions that a certain sister had concerning that. You see, that actually this guy, they are saved. They are God's children. You get the point? Now look at that abortion case. A child gets to 8 months. Maybe this was not even aborted. 8 months or so. 7, 8 months. And then the child dies in the womb. And then you say the child should go to hell? What are you? What's your name again? Amplify said, moreover, your little ones whom you said will become a prey, and your children who at this time cannot discern between good and evil, they shall enter Canaan. They can't discern. So what God is saying is that we cannot judge somebody for what the person cannot choose for or against. I didn't get the point. It's not even right. Which is why children ministry is a very important thing. Once a child begins to come up to a point where he can understand good and evil, he can understand and teach him the gospel. At that point, you've saved that child eternally from hell. Hallelujah. But when he comes to that point and he doesn't put his faith in what Jesus has done, he becomes a sinner. Hallelujah. So why did the children enter Canaan? Their innocence. Let's see message maybe. And then I'll run through some scriptures and we'll close. And your babies, of whom you said they will be grabbed for plunder. And all these little kids, who right now don't even know right from wrong, they will get in. They will get in. Because they don't know right from wrong. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And so, that makes God a good God. Does it not? It makes God a very, very good and compassionate God. Hallelujah. Now, so because of their innocence. So, all I've been trying to say since morning is, it is faith or unbelief in Christ that determines a man's faith. And not what Adam did. Sin is not inherited. Neither is righteousness. Hallelujah. If by what Adam did, because we came from his loins, we are all sinners. I think if my father is born again, I should inherit from him directly. But it doesn't work like that. Every man is brought into that garden. Every man steps into that garden of Eden spiritually. Every man is giving these options. Adam was tree of life, tree of knowledge of good and evil. Every man has his choice. Every man makes his choice. And for you that has believed the gospel, I tell you, you've made the right choice. And you are born again. You are saved. Hallelujah. Because of what Jesus has done. There is the first Adam, and there is the second Adam. There is Jesus, there is Adam, and there is Jesus. You subscribe to what Adam did by unbelief, You subscribe to what Jesus did by believing in him. And once you come into Christ, that which Adam did is no longer yours. Amen. So it is faith or unbelief in Christ that determines a man's faith. Do you understand? It is faith or unbelief in Christ that determines a man's faith. Hallelujah. Now let's see Romans 5 verse 14 again. Let's look at this closely again. This time it will make more sense as we begin to round up. Glory to God. It says, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned, after the similitude. So, some sin set for the pattern, but there were some that did not follow that pattern. We're going to look at some of them today. So, even in the Old Testament, between Adam and Moses, there were still some that did not follow the pattern. How do you get the point? So, it means there were people in the Old Testament that were not even sinners. Do you understand the point? Look at it now. Even over them that had not sinned, so some people did not follow the pattern of Adam's sin. What does that mean? Some people did not walk in unbelief. What does it mean? Some people actually believed in Christ. Hallelujah. Such a man, for instance, was Abel. Abel believed. He believed. People think that the reason Abel was saved was because Abel brought big ram and Cain brought rumpled. How did you believe that? You know how you believed it? You can't remember. Book of Bible stories. Amen. Because the Bible, even the Old Testament did not say it. That's Genesis 4, right? Genesis 4 from verse 1. I'm coming to Hebrew. Genesis 4 from verse 1. Look at it. Adam knew his wife, Eve, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. Verse 2. She again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. You see, to say that the reason God took Cain, took Abel's own and didn't take Cain's own, is because of what they brought is unfair. Adam, Abel brought what he had. Cain brought, what was Cain's job? To cultivate. He brought what he had. Cain, Abel brought his own. Do you understand? Message is funny. But he said, Abel was a herdsman. But not full and ill, not. And Cain was a farmer. Abel was not a fool and a herdsman. He was just a herdsman. He in charge of sheep. Okay, verse 3. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. Okay, and Abel, he also brought the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. Do you have you got that YLT? You have not. Soon. I would have used it here for something. But let's leave it. Amen. Now, Abel brought something. Cain brought something. And then, so why did God disregard Cain's sacrifice? Hebrews 11 verse 4 simplifies it for us. He now talks about what happened between Cain and Abel. But doesn't mention Cain. He said, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. Amen? Abel offered unto God a merciless sacrifice. How did he offer it? By faith. So it was Abel's faith that made the difference. And God is the fine of his gift. So what was the, how did Abel obtain a witness that he was righteous? By faith. In what he offered. So Abel's faith was what Christ will do. Do you understand the point? That's a simple thing. That's not confusing. Very simple. He said, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Verse 5. By faith. Okay, well, let's leave this. I'm coming to Enoch shortly. So by faith. The key thing I don't want you to miss from Hebrews 11 is what? By faith. By faith. It was their faith that made the difference. So why was Abel as Cain and Cain was not? It wasn't because of rumpel whatever. It was faith. Abel put his faith in what Jesus was going to do. It's hard to know what Jesus was going to do. It's very easy to see. Do you realize that even in that Genesis 3, God preached the gospel to Adam? Did you observe that? When he told him, the seed of this woman will bruise the head of the serpent. Who was he talking about? Christ was the seed of the woman. He already announced to Adam in chapter 3 that Christ was going to come to handle the situation. Do you understand the point? That was what was passed on to Cain and Abel. Abel put his faith in that. Cain did not. Amen. It has always been a case of faith or unbelief. Faith or unbelief. So Cain and Abel. Of course, by the time when I get start saying things like the blood of Abel speaketh better things. Me again. The blood of Jesus speaketh better things than the blood of Abel. The blood of Abel, I've explained to you time without number, is not referring to the blood of Abel that was killed. The blood of Abel is referring to, okay, look at this, to Jesus in the middle of the new covenant and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. That of Abel. Amen? The blood of Jesus is what? Sacrifice. The blood of Abel's what? Sacrifice. Blood of Jesus speaks better things than the blood of Abel. Which, what does that mean? It speaks better, it is better than the blood that Abel brought. What blood did Abel bring? That of a ram. What does it mean by better? The blood of Abel was a shadow and a pointer to the blood of Christ. So Abel believed in the blood of that animal as a type of what Jesus was going to do. Do you understand? Praise God. Now, if at this point you still don't understand, I'll tell you what to do. It's very simple. When you are done with this message, get it and play it again. Because if you still have some confusions here and there, it's obvious you are hearing all this for the first time. Amen. And sometimes when you get to class, some people that have learned that thing before. Say, two times seven, shall four. You don't even know how it became four. Don't be intimidated by them. Once they finish, go and read it again. Find them. Hallelujah. And so, Abel was saved on account of his faith. It's not me that said, Bible said, by faith, Abel. Hallelujah. Another example, for instance, is Abraham. In Romans chapter 4, verse 3. We'll just talk about Abraham, then Noah, and then Moses will close. Amen. For what said the scriptures? Abraham, come on, talk to me. Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him. So how did Abraham become righteous? He believed. And this is another hard to see. Put up NLT. He believed God. So when you read the Bible and say, Abraham was a righteous man, stop thinking that Abraham did not commit sin. The guy was doing things. But faith in Christ. For the scriptures tell us, Abraham believed God and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. Verse 4. Just continue. Now, NLT please. Go back to NLT. Because of our time. When people work, their wages are not a gift, but something they have earned. Verse 5. But people are counted as righteous, not because of their work, but because of their faith in God. Who forgives sinners? Verse 6. David, another man, also spoke of this when he described the happiness of those who are declared righteous without working for it. Oh, what joy! This is what David said, for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sins are put out of sight. Yes, what joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared of sin. So David was thinking of how blessed those guys will be. And he's talking about you. Amen. So it tells that David's faith too was in that sacrifice. But all of them believed it in a promissory note. So he was now imagining when the real thing now happens, what joy those guys are going to have. That's why we rejoice. Amen. That's why. So how did Abraham become righteous? He believed. How did Noah become righteous? He believed. He would say, well, Enoch. Enoch walked with God. He did. But then the New Testament will come bust his bubble and expose him in Hebrews 11 verse 5 and say, "So, Enoch by faith." So it was also the faith of Enoch that saved him and not his works. Are you following me? These are the people that did not sin after the similitude of Adam's sin. Do you understand it? Because they did not do what Adam did. They believed. Hallelujah. I think I love God's word. Amen. So, you know, notice he was translated that he should not see. Well, I'm going to, I don't know, I've touched it some time ago in this church, but not now. He will say, "Enoch did not die." Well. I answered this when I was teaching on salvation. That's how many years ago now? That's 3 years ago. 2019. I'd say, "Enoch did not die." So where is he? It's all of Elijah. Elijah did not die. Where is he? Huh? See, he went to heaven with his body. No. No. This body cannot enter heaven. It has a transformed body. So if you want to know where Enoch and Elijah went to, let's leave it. One of these days I'm going to come to it again. But then, by faith, whatever happened to Enoch happened to him by faith. And you can already begin to see the picture of what happened to Enoch. But by the time you now read till, I think, verse 13, verse 13 will now say, "These all died." was it 13? Yeah, "These all died in faith." All of them, they died in faith. But not for today. Let's leave it. Praise God. But then Enoch achieved everything he achieved. How? By faith. Noah. How did Noah become righteous? Verse 7 tells us, by faith, Noah. Glory to God. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is. So everything Noah achieved too, it was by his faith in what Jesus will do. None of them became righteous by their works. It's by their faith. So they believed the gospel. They believed what Jesus was going to do. They did not take after the similitude of Adam's sin. You see, you can give birth to a child that we live and grow up. I will never remember being an unbeliever. You know it's possible. He will live and grow. He can't remember the day he can't remember the time he was unsaved. Because from the time he can remember, he was praying in tongues. Now think about it. Glory to God. It's faith that makes the whole difference. Now verse 23. Let's just tie this up. Hallelujah. Verse 23. We see another man, Moses. By faith, Moses. Slow down here. When he was hid 3 months of his parents. So who demonstrated faith in this verse? His parents, not. Now, because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandments. So by faith, they hid Moses. Now see, verse 24. By faith, this is what I'm going to explain that statement I made. Now Moses knew the gospel, he believed the gospel, he preached it. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years. So when did he start expressing faith? When he came to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. It was his faith in Christ at work. I will show you. Watch. He refused. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for his sin. If you read this, you just think what he did was to reject Egypt and take Israel. Verse 26 now brings proper light. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. So Moses knew about the riches of Christ. Do you understand? And he chose it. Above whatsoever Egypt was to offer. So it was his faith in Christ. Put up another of this verse. He thought it was better to suffer for the sake of Christ than to own the treasures of Egypt. He was looking ahead to his great reward. So Moses was looking ahead. Put up Amplified. He considered the contempt and abuse and shame born for the Christ, the Messiah, who was. So there was, his faith was in the Messiah that was to come. That's why he did all those things he did. Do you understand? So Moses knew the gospel. He knew Jesus. Praise God. He knew Jesus. He said, for he looked forward and away to the reward. He knew something was ahead. So let's see verse 27. Go back to King James. Verse 27. He says, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured. I like this. As seeing him who is invisible. Put up empty out of this. He said, it was by faith that Moses left the land of Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He kept right on going because he kept his eyes on the one who is invisible. His eyes was on God, on Jesus that was to come. So Moses knew Jesus. He knew Jesus. Let's see another translation. He knew Jesus. Amplified said, motivated by faith, he left Egypt behind him, being unawed and undismayed by the wrath of the king, for he never flinched, but held staunchly to his purpose and endured steadfastly as one who gazed on him who is invisible. So his eyes was on something we were not seeing, something that was to come. His eyes was on Christ that was to come. Do we see the translation? Wow. He said, by an act of faith, he turned his heel on Egypt, indifferent to the king's blind rage. He had his eyes on the one no eye can see, and kept right on going. So his faith was on Jesus. Do you understand? So everything Moses did, everything Moses achieved, was not because it was his faith in Christ. Amen. You know, I said something last week. If it was by works, Moses would never be qualified to deliver Israel from Egypt. Never. Because the first time he tried, he killed a man. Do you understand? No, he didn't kill him spiritually. No, it's not prayer he used. He fought the man and killed the man. And killed him. And as if that was not enough, he buried him. With his hand, such a man. Amen. I'll talk about this. Maybe from next week, we'll explain what are sins and the implications of these things. Because, but why was Moses still qualified to lead Israel out? Why? Faith in Christ Jesus. When did he start expressing that faith? The Bible tells us in verse 24, so when he came of years of age. Put up verse 24. So, like, you see, it started everything we've been trying to share since morning. By faith, when Moses was come to years, put up a presentation, when he was come to years, it was by faith that Moses, when he grew up, do you know why he says when he grew up? You know, he was born, he was carried to Pharaoh's house. You get the point? At that point, you wouldn't blame him for doing everything he did in Egypt. But when he now came of age, and now had the right to choose, he now chose Jesus above Egypt. I don't get the point. At that time, when he didn't have a right to choose, you wouldn't blame him. That drives on everything I've been saying since morning, right? By faith, Moses, when grown, refused the privileges of the Egyptian royal house. Go back to verse 27. Let's continue. Glory to God. He said, by faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Let's see 28 and then close from there. Through faith, he kept the Passover. You know Passover now? Passover being a type of Christ's death. Moses did it. The Bible was in faith. So he knew what he was doing. He knew this was about Christ, so he did it in faith. Do you understand the point? And the sprinkling of blood. Ever since the sprinkling of blood, Moses, it was his faith in what was to come that saved him. Friends, Moses knew the gospel. That gospel set him apart, and he shared it with Israelites. Some of them believed it, they didn't believe it. That's why if, let me close with that. If he never preached the gospel to them, if they never knew the gospel, then they should not be condemned on account of unbelief. You get the point? Let me say it again. If they never heard the gospel, they shouldn't be condemned on account of unbelief. It's when you tell me something that I will now choose to believe it or not, right? So he preached it to them. That's what Hebrews 4 tells us in verse 2. That the same gospel preached to us was preached unto them, but they refused to accept it. They didn't put their faith in it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So Moses, Enoch, Abraham, Noah, Abel, Joseph, faith. Hallelujah. Jacob, Isaac, faith in Christ Jesus. Glory to God. Faith in Christ Jesus. So Hebrews 11 verse 6 will round everything up. He wanted to say up by saying, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. Amen. So, does man automatically become a sinner because he is born? No. Man has to either choose to believe or not to believe. Until one has committed the sin of unbelief, he cannot be called a sinner. And until man has believed, he cannot be called righteous. No matter his deeds. Glory to God. The Bible should begin to make sense to you now. God should begin to make sense to you now. And I want to say this as a way to close in. That every question you think you have, the answer is found in the Word of God. You know, there are questions that people ask, they feel there's no answer. So how did this not happen? You may not know it yet, but the answer is there. Hallelujah. So if everybody is born a sinner, how come, people say they are wise, if everybody is born a sinner, how come children go to heaven? Now, by your question, you've displayed ignorance already. Who said everybody is born a sinner? Glory to God. We grow up and we make our choices. We do. Hallelujah. You get to, Boko Haram gets to Islamic camp, and gets to the north and sees children and then burns all of them. And it's all of them are going to hellfire. It can't happen. Say, sir, but their parents are Muslim. It's not only for Christian parents that we're talking about. Those children cannot choose between right or wrong. Amen. Let me close. Amen. This is why we preach the gospel. This is why we persuade men. Because every man's destiny is in his hand. Not in Adam's hand. Let me put it another way. Every man's destiny is not in his birth. It is in his choices. You get the point? So you have your choice. Glory to God. So what was the impact of Adam's sin on humanity? It set forth a pattern that man can either choose to believe or choose to reject. And glory to God, we've rejected what Adam did. We've accepted what Jesus did. And so we can say that we are righteous. Hallelujah. Next week, I'll begin to look at some things more closely again. Sins. And look closely further at what Jesus did. The price that Jesus paid. And how the impact of that price on the sin Adam committed. Okay, we're going to look at that. The impact of that price, the sin Adam committed. I'll answer some questions next week. Things like, I've explained that a couple of times. I'm still going to touch it next week. Things like, when Jesus died on the cross, did the death of Jesus appease God? I'm going to answer that next week. Okay? People like Jesus, you know, people make God look like a deity. I need blood. If you don't give me the blood of Jesus, I'm going to kill the whole world. Give me the blood of Jesus. That's what it make God look like. So, why was blood offered? If God needed blood to save the whole world, what is the difference between God and Amadioha? That sometimes every year we make blood sacrifices to it. Do you understand the question? Because somebody was arguing on Facebook, and I'm going to touch that next week. He said, I think it was a Muslim. He said, this your God that needed human sacrifice to forgive sin. We'll look at that next week. Was he God that needed the sacrifice of Jesus? So next week we'll be here. Praise God. Have you been? Glory to God. Let's stand to our feet. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Amen. Do you have a question? Does anyone have a question? You know, let me say this to you. These are days you enjoy in church. And this is what I said it time without number. That if the church should do its job well, we don't need Bible schools. Because the church should be a Bible school. Amen. Why do we have, what does the Bible call the church? In 1 Timothy 3 verse 15. It calls it the pillar and ground of the truth. So when we come to church, what we teach and good should be the truth. What do we come to church to do? We come to church to learn God's word. So have you learned God's word today? Have your questions been answered? Glory to God.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.